Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this episode, it's another edition of the Cottagers Confidential Roundtable featuring the writers of Cottagers Confidential. Today, joining me is Cottagers Confidential editor Thomas Erie, along with Max Cohen. We will be discussing many topics. However, we have to start with the breaking news today, and that is that Thomas Kaus has joined Fulham again on a season-long loan from Chelsea, which is great news. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Thomas, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me back on, Russ, and hopefully you have a good show.
Hopefully, and I just want to mention, Thomas has just recently taken over as editor of Cottagers Confidential. Andrew gave the reins over to you, and Andrew did a wonderful job. I wish you the best as the new editor for Cottagers Confidential.
Thank you very much.
Okay, excellent. Max, it's been a little bit since I talked to you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Russ. Thanks again for having me back on the show, and of course, doing a lot better today with the news that Kaus is back at Craven Cottage.
It's great news. And listen, why don't we start there, Max? I'll go right to you. We have to talk about this. Listen, Fulham definitely needed help at the center back position. You know, Tim Ream was there. They brought in another center back, but all eyes were on Thomas Kaus. Would he be coming back to Fulham? Well, he is now back at Fulham on a season-long loan. What's also interesting, Max, I want your thoughts on this. Before he signed his loan deal, he actually signed a four-year deal with Chelsea. So he's on a season-long loan with us, but he also re-upped with Chelsea. So let's talk about Thomas Kaus, Max.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you just brought up, the four-year deal he signed with Chelsea. I was going to just mention that first thing when I was talking about Kaus, because I think that's something that's kind of been missing from a lot of analysis I've read on Twitter and elsewhere. There's been a lot of positivity that Kaus is back, and I certainly agree with that, because he's such a massive part of our center defense. His partnership with Ream towards the end of last season really was crucial, and I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say he was our best defender during the last season. And there were some speculation towards the end of last season that he would sign a permanent deal with Fulham, that maybe we'd shell out somewhere in the region of maybe £6 to £7 million, I remember reading, to get him permanently. But of course, the news today is that he did sign a four-year deal with Chelsea, and he's back on a season-long loan. But I think the dreams that Kaus will become a permanent Fulham player are probably over, which is, it's bittersweet because obviously it's great to have him back for the short term, but ideally, I think he is a Premier League quality player, and if we do get promoted, as many hope we do this season, I think he'd be a great player to have with us on a permanent basis for the long term.
He would be, Max, and listen, this just gives more leverage to Chelsea. I think it's a smart move for Chelsea to re-up him. It makes sense for them because if for some reason Fulham definitely want him, say we do get promoted and we're back in the Premier League and we want Kaus to be part of the mix, they can get a really good fee for him. So it kind of makes sense. I wouldn't say that signing him permanently after the year is out the window. I just think that the money has gone up if we do want to sign him, Max.
I'd agree, yeah. And another probably factor of the loan deal is that the financial fair play regulations are, of course, an issue, and the parachute payments from relegation are starting to dry up. I think this might have been our last season with them. So yes, there isn't as much money to spend as there might have been in previous years.
Very good points there, my friend. All right, Thomas, I want to get your thoughts on Kaus signing on a season-long loan for Fulham and also the deal that he also made with Chelsea here.
Well, I think it's the same situation as a Piazza loan deal where they were never going to let him leave if he didn't sign a new deal. So I think that since Fulham's parachute payments are gone and we really are trying to spend money on a striker or two, it was just clear to him that the only way that he was going to be able to come to Fulham was on a loan deal, and Chelsea were not going to loan him out with 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
So he had to sign a new deal. It'd be interesting to see, like, the terms of the deal, whether or not there's a release clause in there somewhere so that Fulham could pay or buy out his contract if he was able to negotiate that in. If he wasn't, yeah, it'll probably be pretty expensive if we get promoted to sign him up. But, you know, if you look at Huddersfield, that's not a rich team at all. Like, they're like low budget team, and they're spending a lot of money in the Premier League. So
that's right.
We're probably, I think that if we got promoted, we would be a really high budget team because Khan would be willing to spend a lot of money to make sure we do well in the Premier League, because then he's getting the money from the TV deal, so he can actually make money off the team, so he's willing to invest more, and also because financial fair play isn't as much of a problem. So if we were able to spend, I think we'd be able to spend the $7 million, the $8 million, if we got promoted
Right.
to sign him up permanently. But for now, I mean, he's the first central defender to really get the best out of Timber. You know,
Yes. Good point.
the year he first came in, he played with, I think it was Dierman for most of the time, and it never really
Didn't work.
clicked. And
Didn't work.
Dierman's
Yeah.
obviously, gone to Sheffield United, and I mean, he was a fine, but they were fine defenders, but we were never going to get anywhere other than the table with them. So we had to move Dierman on, but Reem's really progressed. Now he's a top 10 defender in the championship. So, I mean, I'm optimistic for the season coming up. I don't know if we need another central defender. I think that people are looking at the preseason results with Diallo and with Sigurdsson, and that they're not really realizing that you can't play, those are the same kind of player. So you can't play a slow physical center back with a slow physical center back. So I
That's a
think
good point.
that maybe Sigurdsson and Reem, or Sigurdsson and Kalas, or Diallo in one of those two, or Maddle in one of those two, would be a much better partnership than Sigurdsson and Diallo.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I'm glad that they brought Kalas back, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I want to talk about just the differences between getting players in on loan, getting players in on a permanent deal. People have feelings on that. We'll get into more details on that because Fulham have signed a few players on loan. Lucas Piazon, we'll talk about him in a little bit as well. Another player that came back on loan. But then you have players that have been signed permanently, many of them last season. And so I want to get more into that in a little bit. But before we get into that, we have some other topics I want to talk about. And Tom's going to go right back to you. I want to talk about this. Started to see speculation about this a few days ago, and then it finally came to fruition. It was the loan signing of Oliver Norwood, a central midfielder from Brighton. I want to get your thoughts on this. I really like this signing, but I want your thoughts on it. Maybe you disagree. What are your thoughts about bringing Norwood into the mix?
I think it's a great signing, to be honest. I was really hoping that Fulham were going to go after Jackson Irvine from Burton Albion, but I think, again, maybe the money has been allocated to different positions on the field, possibly with the departure of Malone. And so they weren't going to spend the 4 or 5 million needed to sign Irvine. But the fact that we were able to get Norwood for nothing right now and just pay his salary for a year is quite incredible. From what I've watched of him, he can cover all three of the midfielders. So I don't think there's any real downside to this deal. I mean, you look at our five midfielders now, and personally, I think it's the strongest midfield in the championship. I don't know
I
about you.
totally agree with you.
I
Totally
don't know
agree.
about Matt. But you look at these other midfields. I think the only one that's close is Wolves. But Neves and Saiss. But the thing about Neves is that he's gonna have a wake up call. These guys are all championship proven or like hardworking midfielders that played in rough leagues. Neves played in Portugal. That's not a league known for its physicality. So he's gonna have a real wake up
An
call
adjustment.
when he opens up and he's getting his ankles swept out from under him and there's no foul called.
I think that's actually great, a really good point, Thomas, because there has been a lot of chatter and a lot of people have been really impressed by Wolves' business over this transfer window. Of course, I mean, Ruben Neves is a player no one would expect to see in the championship, and that might actually, as you mentioned, lead to his probably undoing in this league, because I almost see him as sort of a Bryan Roos player who's not really suited to a league like the championship. He's obviously tremendously skilled, but if you ask me, Do I want Ruben Neves? Do I want Oliver Norwood? I for me, in the championship, if you want results, you're going to get Oliver Norwood, which is why I'm so excited about this loan deal, because he does have this experience playing for Reading and Brighton in the championship. And with him, you know what you're going to get. And that was the thing that I think Fulham did a really good job with last season during the transfer window, getting players a good mix, but also players who really were proven in the championship. And I think chief among those was Kevin McDonald, a player who had proven results for Wolves and has molded into what many say is our best center defensive midfielder last season. So I don't expect Oliver Norwood to slot right into the starting lineup, considering how good Johansson, Kearney, and McDonald had been. But certainly, he's going to provide great depth. And if any of those players go down injured, he's more than able replacement.
No, good point,
also
guys.
Saving $15 million.
Yeah. I want to throw something into the table here with our discussion about Norwood that I think is important. And Max will go to you, and then Thomas will go right back to you. One of the reasons why I really like this loan deal for Fulham is the fact that Norwood has promotion-winning experience. He has that, and he can bring that to Fulham. I think that's something that's being overlooked. I haven't seen many talk about that. The fact that he now knows how to gain promotion from Brighton, he can actually possibly help the Fulham players learn from him, learn how they did it. And I want to get your thoughts about that, Max. What do you think about his experience of winning promotion last season with Brighton? Do you think that is an asset for Fulham this season?
Most certainly. I think it's a similar situation to Thomas Kallas in a way. I just listened to his interview earlier today when he just joined, and Kallas made a really good point about how he, with Middlesbrough in the season before they got promoted, they were in a similar situation of Fulham where they were almost at the brink of promotion but didn't quite seal the deal. And then he mentioned how the next season they then went on and got automatic promotion to the Premier League. And I think Norwood and Kallas can both bring that know-how, what it takes to get a team through this long 46-match season and into the top flight. Another really thing that impressed me about the Norwood signing is his interview with Fulham SC TV after he signed, and he said he really liked our style of play.
Yep.
And the crucial thing to me was that he said he was desperate to join as soon as he heard of interest. And this just really, it means a lot to, I think, a fan and the team when a player is actively trying to transfer to you, when they're actually impressed by the interest of a team, which draws in stark comparison to a certain Uruguayan striker you guys may have heard of, with the Diego Roland deal, of course.
Yeah, we'll be talking about him in a little bit.
We'll be talking about him, but I think it's just, this is what I think McNord's a good signing, because you actually want players who want to play for Fulham.
Absolutely.
You don't want players who you're dragging over, who are reluctant to spend 5 weeks in London trying to get it. You don't want that. You want someone who wants to come. And it's a really simple deal. Plus, they want to transfer to you and the club wants you. That's the perfect transfer, in my opinion.
Listen, I think this is a great deal, and I look forward to seeing what he can bring to Fulham, not just on the pitch, but maybe off the pitch. And Thomas, I want to get your thoughts on this, because one of the things I got out of the interview is that he talked about what Brighton did. And the one thing that stood out to him, he believed that the camaraderie of the players together really push them over the line to helping them gain promotion. What are your thoughts about that, and also just what he can bring to the table for Fulham?
Yeah, I definitely think that Norwood was right. The team chemistry really does matter a lot. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, how much did Martin disrupt the team? You know, maybe if Martin wouldn't have been signed, or maybe if we would have signed Martin permanently and he wouldn't have ever thought about going back to Derby. You know, how might the season have been different? Would there have been more, would he have had more drive? Would we have played differently towards the end of the season? Who knows? But I think that definitely Norwood is adding versatility to the squad, and is, I think that Slavista saw towards the end of the season that, you know, they might be the best three in the championship, but you know, asking them to basically all play like 46 games a year plus is a lot. And so they really needed a fourth midfielder who was just as good, or maybe just a little worse, but same, you know, general region of talent as the starting three. And I think that Norwood offers that.
I totally agree with that, my friend. All right. Let's now move on. I want to talk about something I mentioned earlier. It's the type of players that come to Fulham. Listen, you can bring through homegrown players through your academy. You can sign players on a permanent deal. You can, listen, you can make swaps. We've seen that as well. But you can also bring players on loan. So I want to talk about this because I've seen some good amount of talk about players coming on loan, and I've seen some on social media that are frustrated that they're not permanent deals. I'm always the type that wants Fulham to look at all different ways to get better. If it's going to be permanent deals, fantastic. If loan deals are going to help them, so be it. I look at Huddersfield Town. They definitely got a huge boost from their loan deals, and it worked for them. I'm not against that. I think you should use all different avenues to building your team, and that includes homegrown players through your academy. So I'm going to start with you, Tomas. And I keep saying Tomas like Tomas Carlos Thomas, which is funny. I want to get your thoughts about this because I think it's an intriguing discussion. I see fans talking about how they wish some of these players were not on loan, that they were permanent. But I think loan situations can give you a benefit.
Definitely. I think that also people need to realize that some of the players we have, a permanent deal is unrealistic. I don't think that Norwood would have wanted to give up his chance of playing in the Premier League for Brighton. I don't think that, and Chelsea are just not letting anyone really go unless they're getting huge fees and Fulham can't pay that off. So we can't, like, try and think of ourselves as being able to give an ultimatum to teams that we will only purchase these people permanently, because we're not in a position to do that. So if we can get in players like Callis, I don't know. There's something with five loan spots in a team every week. I was watching an interview, quite oddly, with the Hull City manager, and he was saying that you have five loan spots. And so if I count correctly, we're using three, because we have Piazon, Callis, and Norwood. So that means we technically have two more. And so if we can bring in good players to fill in those last two loan spots, it's fine by me. Like, as long as they're devoted to the team for this season, they don't need to be devoted for the next five seasons, because we might not want to sign them after this season. But if they're devoted to the team for this season, then I am perfectly happy with them signing.
Okay, interesting. Max, I want to get your thoughts on this because I've seen so much talk about this. So how do you feel about Fulham signing these players? Like Thomas just mentioned, there are three on loan. How do you feel about them being on loan instead of being permanent deals?
So I think there are a couple different types of loan deals. I think the first would probably fall into the Callis Piazon category, in which you're kind of loaning players from a much bigger club. And it would be perhaps a bit unrealistic to think they would want to move to Fulham on a permanent deal at this point in time. Whereas, in order to get them on a permanent deal, you probably have to pay top dollar for them. So in that kind of first category, the Callis and Piazon types of deals, I think that's ideal, because having them at all at Fulham, I think, is a bonus, because they're obviously top quality players. But it would have to be a pipe dream to think we can sign them permanently. On the other type of loan, I think I'd mention a player we had last season on loan, which is Cyriac, right?
Right.
We signed him in January on a loan deal, and I think that's a really good use of a loan deal as a precaution. As a player who it's an unknown in some respects. Of course, he played in Belgium, but didn't really have any proven results in England. And as we saw, I think he scored one goal against Blackburn in that entirety of the second half of the season. And that's an instance where a loan deal really works, because we got him on loan, we took a chance. We didn't want to buy him permanently because he was unproven, and it turned out he didn't quite be the player we thought he would be, didn't quite get the opportunities. So that's when a loan deal works out. So I think loan deals, they're a versatile type of transfer. I think obviously you want players who you want at the club, and if you can get them at the club through a loan deal, through a permanent, I don't think it really matters that much for me in this instance, because Fulham, we're pushing for a short-term success in this moment in time. We want to get out of the championship as soon as possible. So I think they want to make the squad as strong as possible in this moment. And we're not really building for a long-term future in the championship. So loan deals for people like Norwood in that respect are okay because I think if he does a job in the first year we get to the Premier League, I don't think we'll necessarily need him as a Premier League caliber player. So for me, I'm not too worried about these loan deals. I think they're actually quite helpful to the club. And I'm really excited to see what our three players on loan do now.
I am as well, Max. And listen, if we look back at last season and we talk about players on a permanent deal, I think your core players are on permanent deals. Let's talk about Tom Kearney. We're going to talk about him coming up, along with Stefan Johansson. And then, of course, you have Kevin McDonald. Then you have Cabano. You have Aiete. I mean, these players are on permanent deals. If you can use all of the avenues that are at your disposal, including the loans, including homegrown players, why not? Why not have a roster made up of players coming in different ways? It gives you flexibility, and I think that's what these loan deals give you. Yes, they're short term, but they could pay off, and then hopefully we'll reassess back in the Premier League. All right, guys, let's move on, and let's talk about an article on Cottagers Confidential. I believe it actually was posted on Sunday. Very good article by Adam Braunsmith, and I want to talk about it because I'm fascinated by it. So here's the title of the article. It's called The Craven Corner, which is Adam's articles. Rome wasn't built in a day, and reasons to be optimistic about the first month of the transfer window. And Thomas, I'm going to start with you. I'll give the summary of what the article basically is talking about. It's talking about the signing of Tom Kearney and also signing of Ryan Sessegnon and the players that they sold and the benefits that have come out of that. Now, this article came out on Sunday. Since then, we've had these two loan deals. So the situation actually is a little bit better than even when Adam wrote this. So I want to get your thoughts about what he wrote. Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it?
Personally, I 100% agree. I think that building for the future and building within a team is really important. I think you can possibly draw a kind of a comparison. My dad is a huge Chicago Cubs fan, as has been his whole life, and you know that took about 20 years to build. So it's a long process to make a team that can challenge for a title in any sport, unless you have an exorbitant amount of money. And we don't have that much money, but we are blessed with a really, really good academy that's produced Ryan Sessegnon, Dembele, and Roberts. And we made good money off Roberts. We unfortunately didn't make anything off Dembele, but we reaped the benefits for as long as we could. And Sessegnon looks set to be a great investment by the academy. So I think that we definitely should be optimistic more than pessimistic. And, you know, it's really important that, first of all, we keep as much of the squad together as we can. Hence the renewals for Kearney and just the way they've, tried to get all the players back that were playing for us on loan from Chelsea. Obviously, there was no need to get Chris Martin back or Syriac, but they've gotten as many of the players as they want back, and now they're looking to add. And I think that's why you've seen multiple players come in the door in the last week. And I think that the frequency of transfers is going to remain quite high. I think that it was more of a, we're going to sell who we're going to sell early in preseason so that we give ourselves as much time possible to sign as many people as we want. So Malone went and, at the end of the day, would we rather have had him stay? Probably, but we gave away a player in Jazz Richards that we probably might have released, and we got Malone, and now if all the add-ons come in, we've made $5 million.
That's right.
So they're definitely really looking to build for the future, and actually, I was reading the article, and Adam mentioned that they basically made $5 million in the last year. And, even with players like Yazabed, they basically made their money back on him. I think
That's
that
right.
He was signed for around 3.5 and he left for around 3. And that's pretty good. Stearman, they somehow got a million for. Christensen, I would think that would be around 2 to 3 million. And Burgess is probably quite insignificant. But,
sure.
You know, all those little sales, they all add up. And now 9 to 10 million pounds is what Adam's saying. I think we've spent about two of that on Cisse. And so now that's still 8 million. And obviously with the Roland deal, that was going to take a good chunk out of it, but they've decided to not go through with that. And I think that's a really good thing for the club to do. And they've really kept their faith in the young players. They signed Eden to a new contract. So they're really trying to get these guys, you know, on these long-term contracts when they're young. You see a lot of this in baseball, where they're signing these guys to these like 7-year contracts when they're really young, hoping that they progress well to the point where in their 7th year, they're saving like $15 million on them. So I would not be surprised in 3 years. Hopefully we're in the Premier League, and hopefully we could be doing pretty well because we'd have guys like Edun, Adeniran, and both Sessegnons, hopefully, playing for us at a very high level.
Very good points there. And Max, I'm going to go over to you. What's interesting about this, and I've given this a good amount of thought, I understand where Adam's going on this. I also understand that fans were frustrated and probably still frustrated that we haven't filled all of the holes going into the beginning of the season. But if you really look back at it, and that's why I liked Adam's article, and you look at what they did, they took care of their own. They took care of Sessegnon. Big deal. I think getting Sessegnon to sign a new deal was massive. But the biggest deal, I say, and I could be wrong about this, it's just my opinion, the biggest re-signing of any player in the championship, I think, is Tom Kearney. Okay? That, I don't think it can be undervalued how big that is. So they took care of their business, and they also signed Edun, like Thomas said. These are all good moves, and then they sold some other players, and that gives them room now to add. And that's what I think we're going to be seeing. Add some key players. They have money to spend now, which is fantastic. So if you're patient and you look at what has transpired, I understand where Adam was going on this, Max, but I also understand the frustrations of the fans because they see a hole at striker. We'll be talking about that. They see potentially needing a left back. They see needs. So I understand both sides of the coin, but I actually agree with Adam's side on this. How about you?
I totally agree with Adam's side as well, and I totally agree with what you just said about Kearney. It's not as flashy as a new big-money striker signing, but in terms of value to the team, I think you're completely right in that that's the biggest piece of business Fulham will do all summer, in my opinion. Tom Kearney was so vital to our success last season, our success in the past couple seasons. He's our captain. He plays with heart for the club. He's, in my opinion, the best midfielder in the championship in the way he can take matches by the scruff of the neck. He can score long-range screamers, as you saw against Leeds and Newcastle. He produces the big goals, the big assists. And he just really dictates the way Fulham play in our attacking, attractive passing style. So for him to commit to the club for a number of more years, and for Fulham to really show a big sign of intent by saying to Newcastle, no, sorry, you can't have Kearney, he's ours, that's probably the biggest signing we'll do all summer. So, but of course for fans, when the kind of summer drags on and you realize we're not getting as many signings as maybe people have hoped, I can understand the frustration, but to look back and see Kearney signed a contract extension, so did Sessegnon and Thomas for a great article on Codgers Confidential, when Sessegnon signed his contract extension, why it's so much more than a larger transfer fee for Sessegnon, why it's a sign of intent, and it also guaranteed the number of more years of Ryan Sessegnon at Fulham. So these two contract extensions of Kearney and Sessegnon show that the club is on the right track and, in that respect, maybe makes up for the lack of signings. That being said, I really do think the striker position, and I'm actually currently writing an article about this, the striker position at Fulham is a big worry.
I totally agree.
In a lot of other respects, the fact that our center forwards at the moment are Colley Woodrow and Sonny Lukko, if you designate him as a center forward, that's worrying for me, and that's what the club really has to address in the coming weeks.
See, I totally agree with you. Again, nothing against the article that that Adam wrote, because I think Adam nailed it on being he feels optimistic. But you just said something that I completely agree with. They're not done yet, and they need to add a striker. I will say they need to add two strikers, and it is worrying. I'm not going to couch that or pretend that it doesn't worry me, because it does worry me. They need to do that. Because if they don't, they're going to leave themselves, I think, very short. They need that finisher that's going to put them over the top. They're building something here, Max. But if you don't have someone that can finish, again, I think that they need that player. And I've been the one that has said this. When I look at Brighton and how Brighton kept their team intact, Fulham have now done basically a similar thing. Mike Gregg actually tweeted out that Huddersfield Town match, how great that Huddersfield Town match, and the only loss of a player that they have from that victory, that huge victory, is Scott Malone. Out of all the players of the 14, because Martin was not playing in that match because he was suspended at the time, he's the only one they've lost. They've kept everyone else. They've kept all of their key players. They brought back Piazon. They now brought back Tomas Kalas. They have a team that they can build on. There's so much continuity. But Max, I completely agree with you. If they don't bring in a proper finisher, and I'm going to use Glenn Murray as an example of what he did for Brighton, if they could find a player that can offer them that, I think we are headed towards a really special season, but they need a striker. What are your thoughts about what I added about someone like a Murray?
Yeah, I completely agree with the – I was actually just – as soon as you mentioned Brighton, the first name that popped head in that sort of respect was Glenn Murray. And I think the sad part about it was – I remember Fulham being linked with Glenn Murray last summer, and just imagining what if we had actually signed Glenn Murray, had a proven championship lethal finisher. Because I remember so many times during the past season, one of our best seasons in years, but I remember people saying, and I thought this as well, you know, what if only we had a top-class striker. Chris Martin was not top-class. I think everyone agrees on that. He was decent, but he wasn't the right person for the job. What if he had a striker who could consistently finish, consistently take penalties, if you will? Yeah, we're really missing that one piece in the puzzle, and that's why I'm not worried. I agree with Adam in many respects that I'm optimistic about this offseason, but if we don't sign a striker, we cannot realistically expect the talent at the top, because that's the one thing that's missing in our system. Another thing that worried me,
I totally agree with
Roland, I can deal with that, because I think it's fine that we didn't sign someone who wasn't ideal for Poland. He wasn't a good fit. That's
okay.
What's less positive for me is the Cameron Jerome business. Because Cameron Jerome is someone who knows the championship, who can do a job for you. He is aging a bit, but I think he is what Fulham needs in this point of time, which is, as I said before, a proven championship striker. And when that deal fell through and Fulham ended their interest, I'm getting a bit apprehensive. We need someone like Cameron Jerome, and I don't know where that person is going to come from. We need a striker, and if it's the links today with Kamara, that's okay. But I think we also need a striker who knows the championship well and can score goals for us.
Okay, and I'm there with you, and that's going to actually lead us to talk about Diego Roland and the striker position, because I think that's Fulham's number one need. It sounds like you agree with me, Max. Would that be their number one need?
I would agree with you. It's their number one need. After the really great business we've done so far, we got Kalas, we got our center backs.
Okay.
We have midfield replacements and Cisse and Norwood. We need a striker. Yeah.
Okay, and I totally agree with that. All right, Thomas, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on this. Let's just look at the number one need. I think it's striker. Max thinks it's striker. Do you think it's striker? And if so, who do you think Fulham should bring in? Let's talk about everything to do with the striker position. You can share your thoughts about Diego Roland, because obviously all the speculation that Fulham have with him, but that seems to have cooled. And like you had mentioned to me off air, we have the speculation today coming from France about Aboubakar Kamara. So we have that. And then Max actually brought up Cameron Jerome. I'm actually a little bit disappointed that seems to have cooled off as well. I would like to see someone like a Jerome, like I mentioned, Glenn Murray. So let's just delve into your thoughts on the striker position.
Well, I definitely would like to see a Cameron Jerome-like player, but anyone except Cameron Jerome. We played a few games against him, and every time I watch the match action, it seems like he's just falling over all the time. It's quite annoying. I mean, He's probably one of those players that when he's on your team, you'll like him. When he's on the other team, you hate him. But I don't really see a need for someone who's just going to be spending half the game on the floor at Fulham. But in terms of position of great need, I don't think there's any other position than striker. Listen, left back, we've got Opoku, who they played a lot. So they probably have some faith in him to succeed or to at least, be cover in case disaster strikes. But we still have Sessegnon. We still have Edun, who has played left back
We
for
also
us
have
in the past.
Odoi, by the way.
Odoi, yeah, he could switch over to the flank. And we have Steven Sessegnon, who's played a few games for the under-23s at left back. So I definitely think that striker's the greatest point of need in the team. Probably behind that for me is, I don't know if this is true with you guys, but goalkeeper would probably be my second best. I think that
Okay.
Button's just so bad. He just plays, he makes these just terrible mistakes that
Yeah, I
could
mean,
never
did you see that
happen.
West Ham, game and the goal he conceded in that?
Yeah, no, it's okay. It was a blatant foul. There's no way that was not a foul. But
Agree
he
with
should
that.
never have been in a
Yeah,
position
exactly.
where he was gonna get fouled and there was gonna be a goal being scored. It just he should never have allowed himself to be in that position. So I think that it was good that they let the goal stand just for his pure embarrassment. But with Roland, with Roland, I mean, we're gonna spend $6 to $8 million on him. That's the figure that I think was the consensus. That's a lot of money. And the one thing I don't want in my team is a guy who we have signed permanently. We basically put most of the transfer budget probably in him, and he's gonna start being a problem. He didn't seem committed from the moment we first heard of the talks. It always seemed like he had his eyes elsewhere and was kind of just going through the motions to see if he could, stoke the fires of any Premier League teams or any La Liga teams. And so I don't think we don't need that here. We need a guy who's like Tierney at the striker position, who's a really, really, really good player, but who's going to be committed to Fulham.
Well, Thomas, this
First,
goes back to talking about team chemistry, right?
yeah, definitely, definitely. It needs to be someone who adds to the chemistry, or maybe someone who doesn't affect it at all. But they cannot be detrimental to the team at all. Otherwise, the team's just going to collapse. And so, some guy like Leeds have Chris Wood, who I think they signed for 1, 2 to 3 million from Leicester City last year. And I was kind of disappointed because I was thinking, this guy's big, but he doesn't embarrass himself. The one thing I've noticed a little bit about Glenn Murray is that he's not the most versatile player in the world. But both of them are not Matt Smith. Matt Smith was, the Wigan goal was pretty impressive, but in all seriousness, he's a very one-dimensional player. And I don't think we can afford that if we're going to play one guy up top. So having someone like Roland, who seems to be a pretty good, well-rounded player, would be nice, but not that player. I think we've
Okay.
failed to find, we're finding the right type of player, but I think we have failed to find the right personality to go along with that player.
Listen, that's a great way to look at it, to add to the mix, because you just mentioned add to the team chemistry. You can have someone that can score goals, but you need to find the right player to fit into what Fulham are doing here. And Max, I want to get your thoughts on that, because while he's saying this, and I know this is going to sound bad to some as a slight on this player, but it's just something that I was thinking about while he was saying. There are certain strikers that really can add to a team. There are certain strikers that are about the striker. I'm thinking of Ross McCormack. I don't think Fulham need a Ross McCormack right now. I think they need a player that can score goals but be part of the bigger picture, which is winning promotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Is that the ego with strikers? I think in particular, the ego can sometimes outweigh the benefits of them. Because I mean, being a striker is inherently a selfish position. They want to score goals. They want the goals for themselves, and they want to be the focal point of the team. So I think the Diego Rolland business doesn't necessarily surprise me in that he's kind of that type of person. But I think Fulham do need someone at this point of time who can be an unselfish striker, someone who's willing to work for the team, and add to the team chemistry, as you guys mentioned, which I think is important for a team challenging for promotion because you can't really afford to have someone who doesn't want to be there, is kind of disrupting the flow of the team. You want someone who's dedicated to the cause and wants to score goals and win for the team.
Okay, very
And
good tip.
I do actually agree with what Thomas was saying earlier about kind of the type of strikers we were mentioning. Cameron Jerome, not the most mobile, as Glenn Murray, as you mentioned, not the most mobile either. It would be great to have a player like Diego Rolland with the type of skill and quality. Unfortunately, is
But
a
just
type of
not him.
player like him. Yeah,
Right.
not him. And is the type of player like him because I think
Right.
he's pretty top class. I mean, Ligue 1 is not the most prestigious of leagues, but he still plays for Bordeaux,
Yeah, he does.
he's a very, very good player. He's Uruguayan international. These are the type of players who, when you think of them being linked with Fulham at this point of time, you kind of think, wow, that's a really big coup that we could attract this type of player. In the end, it turned out a little bit too good to be true. But I think
Yes.
it's hard to find that kind of person, a striker who would fit really well into our team, who's also going to be dedicated to the cause. I just
Right.
trust that Slavisa Jokanovic, he's the type of manager who can attract players of that quality. And I do have confidence in him that he's a person who can attract top-class players to this team. I just look as far as signing Kennedy to a contract extension and signing Sessegnon. He obviously
See,
gave them a vision that
right.
wanted them to stay. I think he can do that for another striker.
See, I'm right there with you. I would think that a proven striker would want to come to play with Fulham to be the missing piece, and they just need to find the right missing piece. You guys are both talking about that. The Roland type is that type of player, just not him. They need to find the missing striker. I would also add that they also need another striker. I think they need choices, they need options, but they need a main striker to start off. And if it takes them a little bit more time, even though it's going to frustrate me, I just want them to get it right. And I can be a little bit more patient, but it's difficult because I see the season beginning, but they need to get it right, guys. And it sounds like we're on the same page. They need the right striker. So I don't want them to just get a striker for the sake of getting a striker. I want them to get the right one, but time is working against them a little bit. So hopefully they can find that right player. All right, guys, let's talk about the home kit. It actually launched yesterday. It finally arrived, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Thomas, I'll start with you. What were your first thoughts when you saw the new home kit?
I thought it was just fine. I'm a big fan of the white and black. Keep it simple, you know, it's the colors of the club, you know. I don't have a lot to say about it. I think it's a good kit. I think they've stayed very true to their roots. I just like it. I think it's a good kit. I think it'll get the job done. I'm definitely gonna buy one. And I don't know. The advertisement's a little bit, you know, but it looks pretty. It doesn't look that bad, so I think we're good.
Okay, Max, what are your thoughts about this? You know, it's funny because Visit Florida was the main sponsor there. They're now out, and it's now this online casino. But the kit itself looks nice. But listen, there obviously is talk about there being an online casino now being the main sponsor. But I will point out that Marathon Bet just a couple of years ago was a main sponsor for the Fulham shirt. So, and that didn't bother me. This doesn't bother me. But I understand that it does bother some a good friend of mine. It bothers him. I understand why. It deals with gambling. I get that. I totally understand why this friend of mine, it bothers him. Me personally, it doesn't, but I get why it could upset some Fulham supporters that don't want us to be linked to a gambling site. So I get it. But for me personally, I'm okay with it. It's just about money. They need the money, and this is the sponsor. It's just the way I look at it. But I see the other side as well. What are your thoughts about this whole thing with the home kit, Max?
I like the home kit. I think something I saw on Twitter today sums up the fan reaction to it. It was a poll by White Noise on Fulham, who is kind of like who unites the Fulham Twitterverse, and it has 1,550 votes. So that's a lot of votes for a Twitter poll. And the results were the vast majority of people, 58%, like it, and 20% love it, 19% not for me. So I think it's a really divided opinion. I think most people are united in that they like it. They don't love it. It's not amazing, but it's a classic kit. I'm a fan of it. It's simple. I think the sponsor for me Not, I don't really have a big opinion. I'm pretty neutral towards it. In terms of design, I think it's a little garish. It's a little like big on the front of the kit, but it's black and white, so it's not the end of the world. One thing I would like to talk about, which I was really interested in, and I didn't really think a lot of people were talking about this, but it really piqued my interest, was that Visit Florida is no longer the sponsor.
Yeah.
Of course, the Shahi Khan, owning the Jacksonville Jaguars, and having big major relations with the state of Florida and the Florida Tourist Board, which is what Visit Florida is. I think it's a little interesting deal that they're no longer the sponsors of the club. I don't know how the Khans themselves felt about that, because I think they certainly played a big role in Visit Florida becoming a sponsor for Fulham, which at the face value that those two things have very little connection except for the Khans themselves. So I would really like to know the inside story on that. I read a couple articles earlier on in the year about how the Florida state legislator was kind of unhappy with the way Visit Florida had was putting using like the state money to advertise abroad, and they even cited the Fulham sponsored deal as maybe overreach and overspending. So I looked at an interesting story to look into about why Visit Florida were ditched as the lead sponsor.
Max, you bring up a great point about the Visit Florida sponsorship. I'll be curious to see what comes out of it. It's funny because I actually were looking for articles right after I saw the new deal, and I don't know what happened. I think this is something that we're going to have to see what comes out of it, but they are no longer the sponsor, which is very interesting, and we have a new sponsor. All right, guys, listen, I want to thank you for a wonderful show. Major thank you to Thomas Erie, the new editor of Cottagers Confidential, and Max Cohen. We'll be back very soon with another episode of Cottage Talk. But for Thomas and Max, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.